Happy Sabbath, Church. Thank you for the music. You know, friends, the longer and the more precious our quiet place is with God, the more we are enabled to face the new day with love for all mankind. Isn't that true? I know that from experience, and I know a lot of us here know that from experience as well. Okay. Before I proceed, I'm going to pray again. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you that you reserve that quiet time with us in the morning, and forgive us when sometimes we are distracted. But today, Lord, in your holy hours, we know that you are present here. We pray that you open our hearts and minds to your love, to your grace, and your mercy, that we may come out of darkness into your marvelous light. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Okay, are the slides on? So what we're going to go through is food for the body, mind, and soul, and it's a personal testimony. Last time we were here last year, it was more of my personal testimony. When I left the church for 15 years and how the Lord has gently invited me and wooed me back to Him, where my children would just be singing all these worldly songs when they were 3 and 2, and how we love to partake of the heavenly food every Sabbath day now. So God has indeed brought us out of darkness into light. Amen. So today, though, I think what our journey is more of my practice and as my role in the healing ministry of Jesus Christ. You know, in the Desire of Ages, it says that God actually healed more than he preached. He really loves the human race, and he knows the burden of sin. So he healed more than he preached. So this is our journey today. Food for the body is physical health principles. Food for the mind, our thoughts, beliefs, and how we process information. And food for our soul, how our journey in faith progresses. So this is my family sitting over there. Thank you, Auntie Sue, for introducing them. And they have since grown. We now have 2 teenagers. Thank you. Okay. But you grow with your children. You cannot parent a teenager the same way you parent a 6, 7-year-old. It really does make a difference as you walk with God. So for those who don't know me, I have about 20-plus years in medical practice. I have internal medicine specialty training in Chicago. And my degree, although I practice natural medicine, is not naturopathic. It is medical doctor. Okay, from the Philippines originally, and I had a lot of experience with ER and urgent care. I liked the fast-paced life when I was younger. I'm glad I didn't make that a career because I like it slow now, like primary care. So my husband is there, who is my administrator at the clinic, and we do run Generoso Health, which is a primary care clinic north of here in Castle Rock, Washington. So lifestyle medicine was a big part of my practice, because when I was just clicking the mouse, refilling medications, I felt a dissatisfaction of that method of healing, because it was just the same thing. Something happens, you adjust the medication, or you increase, or you reduce, rarely. Or you actually add another medication to counteract the side effects of the first medication. Does that sound familiar? Yes, because like my patient told me, I don't have a deficiency in statin. So please don't give me that drug. So, and then from there, and you'll know as we move along, our practice have also incorporated Christian counseling, which is very different from the world of self-help. For you cannot help yourself with something that's already the cause of the problem. So Christian counseling is leading to the cross for healing, complete healing, okay? As I've said, it was drugs and lifestyle. Now, Christian counseling touching the mind and the heart of individuals, just like Jesus did. So in Genesis 2:7, and thank you, Elder Lee, for mentioning that, it says that the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So our dust, you know, is our body. And the first, one of the examples that I really see that in action is, you know, these stink bugs that go under your windowsill, right? Yes. And in time, if you don't clean them, what do they become? They become dust. They actually become dust that you can vacuum off. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's a reinforcement because our body is made of organic material and it will return to where it came from. And then God breathed into us the breath of life, our spirit, our life. And we became a living soul. So we do not have a soul. We are a living soul. And we do have a spirit. That's our personality, our mind, how we process things. Now, the first part is food for the body. You see, when God works, He is inside out and He is complete. You know, when I speak to my patients, I know my God heals completely. Now, that doesn't mean that you will be well in this earth, right? Because sometimes God has purposes we can't understand. But in the earth made new, we will all be made complete. Amen? Amen. And we trust the timing with a God who loves us. So this is one of my favorite slides. You know, when people come to me, it's almost like these health nuggets, depending on what they need to know. I pull up these lectures, bring it up, and walk them through it. Who here knows that nothing in your body lives forever? Yes? You feel that? Yes. Dr. Mercy said that everybody has aches and pains. That's so true. Because things break down since sin, right? Your gut lining is actually the one that breaks down and needs to rebuild more often. One cell in your gut only lives between 2 to 10 days and an average of 3 days, which is even shorter than your skin, about 30 days for each skin cell. I would have thought it was the skin because it's external, right? But because in our internal environment, we also have a lot of movement there, a lot of scuffing, a lot of scrubbing the walls, so the exchange is quicker. Then your taste buds last about 10 days. Therefore, you can train your taste buds. I had a patient, which I will add later, and his heart rate was up and down, and I realized it was his caffeine. It was drinking, and then, of course, the level goes down, and then he has to drink again. So I challenged him. I said, just 2 weeks, just stop caffeine. And his heart rate was steadier, right? But, of course, another patient who agreed to stop caffeine for 2 weeks said, I don't like this. I don't like my coffee anymore. It's bitter. Because her taste buds, what? Changed. Okay, so if you stick with something about 2 weeks, or Daniel, 10 days, it would actually change you. So your skin, you talked about that, and your red blood cells is about 3 months, 120 days. When all of these things break down, what happens is the body has to replace it. So you eat your food, then what happens? It's broken down into compartments. It goes into your gut and eventually crosses to your blood. And your blood moves all around your body, and this is the way your body lives. Oxygen is delivered, nutrition is delivered, and new cells are produced from the food that you eat. So truly, we are indeed what we eat. We become what we eat. Because nothing lasts forever, your cells become the food that you have been eating or you are eating. Okay? There is actually no better way to say that, but that we are what we eat. We do have an enemy, though. We talked about the Eden is the ideal place, the perfection of God's design. But if you garden, you know, I mean, I transplanted, I'm propagating some marantas, which are prayer plants. They're so cool. Their leaves go up and down depending on the day. They're actually moving. I transplanted them into a pot, but the soil that I put there was contaminated with the seeds of the weeds. So weeds were growing. Did I plant the weed? No. God didn't plant sin. It is the result of what happened in Eden. So we have an enemy. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I, Jesus, God, am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Amen? So we do have an enemy. who, because he hates God, will use us to hurt him. We have an enemy, which means there is truth and error. That's why, even though I want to harvest all the blackberries in the property, the thorn seems to be reaching out for me at the same time, right? Snagging my clothes and prickling me. So there is sin. There is no doubt there is. That's why when Jesus gave pure water, what did the enemy create? Addiction to alcohol and caffeine and all other kinds of drinks. Because he does not want us to prosper and be in health. And friends, I always, always am compelled to share this because this is a testimony. You see, when I left home and I became a resident in Chicago, I forgot all the good things my mom had told me about coffee. This is a PET CT, which is a structure and blood flow images of the brain. The bigger part is about in the ear level, it's coronal. The top part is the front of your brain, and the higher part is over here. The middle of the brain, the corpus callosum, is very important because my right hand is controlled by my left side of the brain and crisscross, vice versa, right? The red here is the blood, and it brings what? Oxygen and nutrition to all parts of your body. Now, what happens if a part of the body completely has no blood supply? Will it live or die? Yes, die. What if there's a little bit of blood supply? Will it grow or not grow? Not grow. Actually, it can also shrink. I had a patient before who had a congenital structural issue with his body where the left side of one side of his body has normal arteries and the half side of his body has smaller blood vessels. And he will put his thumb and one is almost twice as big as the other. Okay? Because the place where there is reduced blood flow, that organ will shrink or not grow. Do we like that for our brain? No. So what happens after we drink coffee is our brain has a blood flow reduction of more than 40%. Where I say that five-lane, four-lane I-5 all of a sudden becomes a single lane gravel country road, right? And so in time, it will really affect your body. But doctor, I only drink one coffee a day. There are drugs that you only take once a day because the effect will last that long, right? That's why in the morning when I was in residency and I was a slave of caffeine, I will tell my residents, don't talk to me. I haven't had my coffee yet, right? So I am so glad that God has really brought me out of darkness into light, and it is my passion to share this with you. And my patients tell me, I don't like a black and blue brain. Nobody wants a black and blue brain. We want a healthy brain. This is the command center of the rest of the body. You can lose your toe, your arm, your leg, right? But this, when this is gone, everything falls down. Command center of the body. So the enemy also has artificial recreation, which is recreation, W-R-E-C-K, right? God wants to recreate us in nature. There is benefit to being in the forest, right? Forest bathing in Japan, they found, will last 30 days when you're out there. There's so much benefit to, like, a Garden of Eden. You know, friends, before our Sundays are Sunday football, right? It's like, all of our time is there. That is one thing that the Lord has brought us out of darkness to. But it's more wonderful to be outdoors. This is in the Arches National Park. It's so beautiful. The experience stays with you of God's wonder of creation. Now, during the time that I was transitioning from just a regular pill-pushing, vaccine-promoting doctor, as I have been trained, I was dissatisfied with the process, and I was asking the Lord, Lord, what a waste. I went to medical school for 10 years, and now I have to do all these natural things, and I don't have any idea what to say. You know, our lecture in nutrition was probably 3 lectures, right? Everything is pathology, but you know, God is good, because my favorite subject was physiology. I devoured that physiology book, and I would pick up the phone and call my mom and say, Mom, you know what I learned today about the human body? We are truly, fearfully, and wonderfully made. Amen? Amen. So when I was learning and going to God's school in his re-education program, I stumbled across Med Missionary Training. Dr. Joyce, we saw her in one of the Portland churches, and I sat with her and exchanged numbers, and I went through this training with Miss Mercy and Dr. Joyce. And it was so eye-opening, the things that I don't know. And after that, we were encouraged to attend Miss Mercy's Years Restored, and it didn't upload. So Years Restored Lifestyle Center in Northern California. So that is a lifestyle center that Dr. Mercy is running, and me and my husband went there. And you know, God has wonderful timing, because it happened that my parents were here to watch the kids. So we can be gone for, I think, including travel, is about 11 days. 10 days you stay there. So guess what? I will tell you. God has a plan for our body. He tells us the fuel so that our body will be in optimal condition. But the enemy has changed that, affected that, faked that with food that are super stimulating, that you don't want to eat anything healthy, right? Right? So our story was, oh, hold on, give me a second here. I have to refresh this because it's not picking up. Okay, thank you. Okay, all right. I'll go back to Years Restored. Okay. Did I mess that up? Or am I just waiting? Okay. So what's up here, and maybe somebody can help us with that, check signal, but I did detach it and come back. Is Years Restored Lifestyle Center. So the next one that I wanted to share with you is one of our criteria for moving to the Pacific Northwest is if our favorite steakhouse was here. And it's a Brazilian steakhouse where all cuts of meat and different levels of cooking is present. So when we came here and interviewed and it was present, I'm like, okay, check. There you have a few checks, you know, near to the airport. Before, what we would eat is, what we would serve the kids is meat and rice and not even greens. My mom would say, there's no greens on your plate. And you know, I left the church for 15 years, so when I was converted, I said, who cares? Okay? So, no vegetables at all. But now, we incorporate, actually after Years Restored, we came home vegetarians. From voracious meat eaters to vegetarians. And I have a daughter, I will not say which one, who said that I will never be vegetarian. I'm a meat eater. So it is really the Lord that changes the heart, because there was no way we could have done that on our own, right? Our appetites are so depraved, they are looking for other things. It is the Lord that transforms us from inside out and changes the desires of our heart. Amen. So one thing too is we used to travel with so many drugs, and I would check the expiration date and make sure that everything is okay, but now we just travel with natural remedies. I travel with charcoal and oils and a washcloth for a very simple hydrotherapy. And City Exodus has a first aid kit with all natural remedies, and we recently used it because the kids were running and one of our friend's daughter's wrist was broken. And then we immediately put comfrey, and also she was in pain. And so she also had a tincture there for pain, which we started giving to the kid, which calmed her down. So that's really good. We are now on the natural remedy. Oh, one more thing. My dream was to teach the patients natural remedy in clinic. So you know what we do? While they're there, we apply ice. So somebody came with a big bug bite, and his skin was so red and full, and we would just ice it while we're interviewing the patient, and they will leave there already feeling relieved. Just a few days ago, we had a patient that fell, and the front of his shin was so swollen, you can tell the skin was already stretched out. We have small ice cups on the freezer. We started applying the ice multiple times, ice, dab, and then we added comfrey. And he left there with his leg already shrunk a little bit. Amen? So this is hands-on. We don't just tell them what to do. We show them while we're there. And you know what? I was inspired to ask him to videotape me while I was doing it so I can instruct his wife. When he came home, his wife can do that for him. Right? Ice. Direct. So the new start, which is nutrition, exercise, water, sunshine, temperance, air, rest, and trust in God that the Lord provided, is from a heart of love. It is not from a heart that says, well, I know better, you just obey me otherwise, right? It is a heart of love that offered all of this. And we can trust him that his methods are higher than ours. And we can trust him that his ways will be for our good. Amen? Yes. Amen. So now food for the mind. Food for the mind. So Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, we eat, it goes to our gut, it goes to our blood. The things that enter our senses are information as well that we process. And then we either reject it or we believe it. And from our beliefs comes out our thoughts and our feelings. You see, our feelings are not just feelings. They come from what we believe. So sometimes, you know, as sinful humans, you get upset with something your kid does, and then, oh, my mom doesn't love me anymore because she's upset. Is that true? Okay, so the belief came from the thought that if my mom is upset, she doesn't love me anymore. So our feelings are a result of our beliefs, which is very important. But what will you believe? There's so many information out there. It's so confusing. Most of them are conflicting. During my previous work, I got into a scholarship to become a lifestyle coach, and it was so confusing. If you want to find a study that says all you have to eat is fat and no protein and carbohydrates, you will find it. If you want to find a study that says all you need is protein and very little fat and carbohydrate, you will definitely find it. And I was so confused. And do you know what their principle was? Their principle was, if it feels good to you, it's good. What does that sound like? That really sounded like, do as thou wilt is the whole of the law, which is the satanic doctrine. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to study these worldly things. I'm just going to go back to what my mom taught me when I was young, which is the true health message. So what would you believe? And what is your basis for truth? Is your basis for truth how you feel? Is it how comfortable you are? What is the standard of truth? This is why we are so confused, is because we have no bearing on what is truth. So the world tells you so many things, but the Bible tells you one thing, and that thing is truth. That God created man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life and became a living soul. That man, when started in Eden, ate fruits, nuts, and grains, and only in the entrance of sin was vegetable introduced. This is what we need to introduce to our body. So we do have a standard of truth. So when we get an information, we weigh, we contrast it, and compare it with the truth. Is what I think, feel, based on truth or error? And one thing that I just recently learned is not all my thoughts are mine. Have you been doing something, maybe just sweeping the floor or washing dishes, then all of a sudden there's a thought in your head that you say, where did that come from? Right? One time I think I was crocheting and then a thought came into my mind of something that I have done in the past that I do not like to remember because it was not right. And so these feelings of shame and guilt started going inside me and I was like, Lord, what is this? And the Holy Spirit said, yes, you did that. Actually, I knew you were going to do that before you did it because I know the end from the beginning, but that has been forgiven already. So I said, Lord, thank you so much that you have forgiven me for that which I have committed in the past. I choose to believe that you have forgiven me because that is your faithful promise. And then just peace came over me. No distress. So friends, remember that we have an enemy who actually plants things in our head. They can whisper these temptations in our head. And a very wise patient told me that, well, my patient was 80 and then he or she said that this is from his parent. So just imagine all that wisdom. He said, these birds fly over your head. It's up to you to make a nest for them. Okay? These things come, and you can either reject it based on the truth or accept it and linger over it and mourn over it. Oh, I'm so bad. There's no hope. Does that make sense? Okay. So let's see. This is a thrust in my practice too, because I want to see healing. I ask the Lord to be in His presence when I sit with His patients in His schedule, in His clinic. I said, Lord, you know all the people in your clinic today. I have no idea what's going on in their life. And thank you for giving me that opportunity. And what a lot of times we really end up is a Bible study to those that are open. We open the Bible. I'm like, wow, Lord, thank you. And to be in the presence of the moving of the Holy Spirit is a privilege. It's wonderful. Now, 9/10 of the diseases from which men suffer have their foundation in the mind. So you get the information, and then you either believe it or disbelieve it. And based on your beliefs, your thoughts and feelings come. And these are the things that probably entered our mind one time or another. Nobody loves me. Nobody likes me. I'm alone. You know, the widows. I'm alone. I'm a failure. I'm hopeless. I'm worthless. I'm unloved. Are these true? Sometime in our life, we've thought about that. Are we truly alone? So, here it is. What does the Bible say? Am I alone? Am I unloved? Joshua 1:5 and a lot more verses that says this. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Are we ever alone? Never. And then, I feel unloved. Maybe because we're looking at love for love at the wrong places instead of the source of love. And God said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. So are we unloved? Yes or no? Yes. We are not unloved. We are loved. Okay, we are loved. So our feelings are not right because the heart is deceitful. What kind of food are you eating? And here is another one. I'm a failure. I said I'm never going to do that, and here I am doing it again. Does that make sense? There's no victory. And God said, you know, I knew you were going to do that, right? When I was making you in your mother's womb, I knew all the sins and lies you're going to do and the bad decisions, but I love you, and I'm here to help you, okay? I have the power to help you. Let's walk together. And so, whenever you feel and beat yourself up with self-condemnation because you cannot kind of progress, all your promises are like sand falling through your fingers. The righteous falls 7 times and rises up again, but not in his own strength. This is only through God. And sometimes I'm like, man, I haven't gotten victory over this. But you know what? The tripping becomes less and less. Have you experienced that? Before, like a child walking, walk, trip, walk, trip, walk, trip. Now maybe trip, and then it's a length of time before it comes again. Because he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it in the day of Jesus Christ. It is not up to you, it is up to him. We cooperate and we collaborate with him. But don't go fighting against it, right? Don't. When he says this way, no, I'm going to go this way. So it is a cooperation, a surrender, a loving obedience to his methods and ways. That's where the victory comes. Because God will not put a chain in your neck and pull you somewhere he wants you to go. There is no force in love. Okay. The degree of faith is the level of help you receive. Your faith has made you whole. Just like that lady, right? He said, if only I can touch the hem of his garment. Her faith was that strong because the power is available. But our faith does the withdrawal. How much is your faith? How much is this faith, right? This faith does the gate. How far will the gates of blessing open will only be equivalent to the level of faith you have. But that faith doesn't even start from you. It comes from God, but it does strengthen with practice. So when you feel alone, this is what I find. You know, what's funny is when somebody comes even with a regular cold in my clinic, I will listen to the medical history and then I will give them some natural remedies. If it's severe, we will do what needs to be done, right? Medications are there for a reason, but not to be overused. And then I will ask, what's going on in your life? Right? Very simple. What's going on in your life? And the truth comes out. They're stressed, there's something that happens, and the tears come flowing. And I know that by experience. Because when I'm sick, I'm like, okay, Lord, where's this from? Oh, okay, I had an argument with something like that. So the Lord shows us our need of Him by our physical constitution. And because that's the way to get our attention, right? And then we can walk with Him in newness of life. So when you feel alone, lonely, neglected, depressed, discouraged, Hebrews 13 verse 5 said, I will never leave you or forsake you. We know that verse. We probably memorized it. We read it 100 times. But this is the key. This is the prayer of faith. Thank you, Father, for the truth of your word. I choose to believe. That's it. You're aligning your will with Him, that I am not alone. Thank you, Father, for always being with me. And sometimes when I'm uneasy, I try to identify the emotion and I ask the Lord for the truth of His word. And sometimes I just have to repeat the prayer once, but sometimes it takes about 5 to 6 times for this hardened heart to soften with His truth. And then the peace goes through me and I know that finally my hard-headedness have believed the promise. Amen? We have to claim the promise and also believe that we have accepted it. And that applies with a lot of things. Okay, we want to serve the community. But you know what, friends? Nobody cares what you know until they know you care. When a new patient comes to the practice, I cannot start giving prescriptions or natural remedies or change their lifestyle. They have to trust me. They have to trust me. They have to know I'm on their side. And I actually reassure that with words. You know, we care for you, right? They know that. They know that because you go over and beyond. Like what Miss Mercy's doing for her patients is over and beyond the usual way. You cannot just say, God bless you, and then not feed them or clothe them. We have to have personal investment in these relationships. Nobody cares what you know, even if you know the health message, until they know that you care. In that regard, we are privileged to go to the Philippines last May to do a medical missionary event and evangelism. So these are my kids learning how to do that, and I was doing some one-on-one doctor appointment. And this were a couple from Restoration to Eden Ministries in the Philippines, and they did the lifestyle counseling. But when they come to me, we do the medications. But most of the time, friends, you know what it was? It was Christian counseling, because it's what they needed. The blood pressure is high, and all I have to ask really is what's going on in your life, and the tears come. They have a child that they're worried about. They're worried about money. They are widows. They're alone. They're lonely. So the location was in a neutral location, in a public basketball court where it was set up for the meetings because people are more inclined to come there. Also, the public address system they were pointed to the neighborhood because even though they're not physically there, they know they're listening. And some of them came after that. This is the group with our Bible workers and my parents. And then at the end was a baptism. There were 3 sites. One of the sites are ours. So the reason why I said that nobody cares what you know until they know you care, because some of those people that we served during the medical mission trip, medical missionary work of 2 days, they came every night to the meetings. God's love is attractive. Amen? If we do not have that in our hearts, regardless of our doctrinal truth, we will not be fragrant people. They will not come to us. They will not come back to us. They will not want to be around us. So that starts here. There is no spiritual pride will go against that. That starts here. When the love of Christ compels us to serve selflessly, then they will come. They will know. Those people love us. They have a God who loves us and cares for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to the end here for the food for the soul. We are a living soul. So God wants us to prosper and be in health just as our soul prospers. He doesn't want only our right hand to be strong, but our left hand too. He wants our health and our spiritual health and our mind health to be healthy. We knew that and learned it from the beginning. Our body has to be fed with physical food and our mind to be fed with truth. That's it, with truth. You see, if you believe that the God of love is baking you forever and ever for 80 years of life, but you are deserving of hell forever, well, what does that make you feel about God? It will make you anxious. And a lot of people I know from the Philippines has lost their mind thinking about that. God loves you so much. They are working for you to be with them in heaven. They are not looking at every disqualification. This is the love of Christ. So, nearly half, 1 in 2 Americans have high blood pressure. It's the highest reason for stroke and death and premature death. These are the usual medications for blood pressure. Dr. Esselstein talks about vegetarian raw food and green leafy vegetables, no caffeine, no oils, not too much salt. You'll see on the right is an occluded widowmaker. Left anterior descending artery is the widowmaker. This is when this artery is blocked, you're gone. Almost no hope. And then it opened up after 3 years of intensive lifestyle. Eden diet. Amen? So I will have success in people lowering their blood pressure if they remove their alcohol or their coffee, increase their water. But as soon as there is one stressful event, everything comes back again. We have to go back on the pills again. We have to increase the pills again. Because the heart and the mind has not been converted to the truth that God is in charge. There's no need to stress. Now that's a topic for another day, and it's a big topic. 9/10 of all source of their high blood pressure comes from their mind. Their worries, their anxieties, their fears, their bitterness. But I don't talk about it and I don't think about it. Friends, the subconscious and the unconscious actually affect your body. So, all our needs will be supplied by the Lord. All our physical and spiritual needs will be supplied by the Lord. It says that every want, every need that the Lord has implanted, He will satisfy. Every faculty imparted, He will develop. If He gave you that need, He intends to fill it, both body, mind, and soul. And the amount that you receive will be equivalent to the faith you have. And that faith is in you to be practiced by remembering and claiming and believing that He is faithful who promised He will do it for you. Amen. So friends, we always talk about the enemy. But look, does the enemy, Satan, does he keep himself alive? Yes or no? Where is his life from? Where is his power from? Can he do anything without permission from your Father in heaven who loves you? No. And if the Lord allows it, all things work together for good of them that love the Lord, of those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. There is nothing that will befall you that has not been filtered by the God who loves you. So your trials and tribulations are just but God's ways to purify our character. And is there any guilt and shame in your heart? Is there anything you feel that God has not forgiven? Friends, He has forgiven. Let it go. When the enemy reminds you, you can tell him, that's been paid for. Thank you very much. I am the chief of sinners. That's why I need a Savior. And my Savior loves me. You know, before he made me, He knew all my sins, but loves me anyway. But will not leave me where I'm at, but will work to will and do according to His good pleasure. Amen? Friends, the commandments are the commandments of love from a God who loves you. They are not arbitrary rules. Who here wants to accept that love? Amen? God loves you so much. His health message, both body and mind, are an expression of love for you. He wants you in heaven. He is not disqualifying you. The Godhead and the angels are working their best so that you will stand in the sea of glass, perfected in Christ's character. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads and raise our hands as we accept this deep love. Lord, you know our hearts. You see our hands. We accept this great love. And Lord, get our tired bodies, get our broken hearts, and restore them in communion with you. We want to be recreated in your image. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.